This is On the Mark. It is Thanksgiving week. I'm Mark Carmen. Jake Willarius sitting alongside as we really celebrate a little turkey. You got any traditional turkey holiday things over there, Willarius?
No.
Not a single one.
Not a single one.
You don't play a Turkey Day bowl game?
No, I don't.
Okay, last year, just imagine it. Carm out there, and I'm giving it my all. I've got all my energy going, and I make a beautiful move, and I'm wide open. The quarterback slings it to me in the end zone. Not a good throw, but you know what? I am going to get there. I'm going to make the play, and there I go, full-on dive, make the catch, basically separated my shoulder. Do you remember?
I do remember. You came into the office, and you're telling everybody, guys, I made this amazing catch, and I broke my body irreparably forever.
Right, so this is a message to everybody out there. Don't be a moron in the Thanksgiving Day Turkey Bowl game and injure yourself. Just stay in your lane. Go out there. You want to be out with your buddies and give a marginal effort. I'm all for it. But, you know, if you're really going to be outside yourself like I was diving around like you're Jerry Rice in his prime, not a great idea, although it was an amazing catch.
It was an amazing catch. Do it for the glory.
Well, yeah. But
bare eyes, full heart, can't lose.
But then I couldn't do anything else for like a month. It was only a grade one sprain, too. I completely.
Okay, so you did not separate your shoulder is what you're telling me here.
It felt like I had separated my shoulder. I left the field before the game was over. I had to get in the car. I couldn't lift my arm.
Sounds like you're overplaying your hand here, Carm.
I talked to doctors. Of course, I'm nothing like Thanksgiving embellishing. By the way, speaking of overplaying the hand, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a little bit under the weather right now, dealing with a significant head cold. So this is like the Jordan flu game when he scored 38 against the Jazz. This is the Jordan flu game on the Mark podcast.
Does that make me Scottie Pippen?
Well, if you want to be, you could pick it up.
There are worse people to be than Scottie Pippen.
I see you more as a Tony Kukoc type, to be honest with you.
I find that offensive.
Well, you should. I mean, that was a definite shot. You're kind of an eclectic Kukoc, not as good as Pippen type of guy. You're a soccer.
Wow.
Well, you're a soccer guy. I can't give you all that. All right. This is where we're starting today. We're starting in the NFL, and Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills. Tyrod Taylor has his worst game of the year, and Sean McDermott decides that, you know what? We've got this fifth-round quarterback in Nathan Peterman. I think he's sweet. I'm going to roll out Peterman on the road against the Chargers, even though Tyrod Taylor's only thrown 3 interceptions all year, 17 touchdowns. I'm going with Peterman, my fifth-round pick. While the Bills are in the playoffs at 5-4, the dude goes out there, completes 6 passes, 5 interceptions. And by the way, all this is not my problem. My biggest problem, like if you want, like maybe you don't believe in Tyrod Taylor, you're not alone there, Sean McDermott. I mean, you're wrong considering your options. But then afterwards, and even to this point, when we're talking right now, he still hasn't confirmed that he's going to start Tyrod Taylor this week. And he says he doesn't doubt his decision. He doubts the result. He wasn't disappointed in his decision. He was disappointed in the results. Dude, look in the mirror and admit you made a mistake. We all make mistakes. How hard is it for a guy on that level? Why can't you just look in the mirror and say, hey, man, I thought that Nathan Peterman could play and he was ready. Clearly he wasn't. My apologies to Tyrod Taylor, his family, the Bills, my guys who I put in a bad position. And moving forward, Tyrod's our quarterback and he's going to start this week against Kansas City. This isn't hard.
I love that. I don't regret the decision. I regret the result of the decision. What is the difference in this context? What is the difference between picking your quarterback and the performance of the quarterback? That is what the result of the decision is. The decision.
I mean, seriously, what an asshole! I don't like.
I don't know much about Mr. McDermott here, but he seems like a stone cold moron from what I've read in the past few days.
I mean, how do you go with that? Hey, and it's fine too. Again, I made a mistake. I was trying to play for both the future and now. I got outside of myself. I watched Nathan Peterman lead us down for a touchdown against the New Orleans Saints. We were down 17,000 touchdowns. I was like a fan who got enamored with a guy going up against fourth string dudes. I should know better, but I did it. It happens, and we're moving forward. But they can't admit fault. It's like they look in the mirror, and if there's a big zit on their forehead, they're going to like say, that's not a zit. In fact, it's a brain pimple smart thing that's leading me to win more football games. That didn't make any sense, but you get what I'm saying.
I don't regret hitting you with my car. I regret the pain that you felt as a result of me hitting you with my car.
Oh, right. I don't let's see if we can play this game. I don't regret the fact that I'm sick right now. I regret that I don't feel good. Is that good?
I think that's good. I think that is what we're working with here. This guy is, I mean, I don't know. I don't
regret that I didn't take a shower. I regret that I smell.
Exactly. Peterman was so bad. It was astounding.
I don't regret that I walked up, that I didn't walk up to the hot girl and ask her out. I regret the fact that I'm alone. I don't, whatever. This guy, that, Sean McDermott.
A little too revealing.
That
there,
was
I
too
think.
Revealing. That I apologize to myself there, and to you for allowing you into the deep dark secrets of yours truly. All right, moving along in the same vein here. John Elway in Denver. John Elway, man. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. A dude who could, like, see well enough. You know what, John Fox, you're way too conservative. I'm bringing in Gary Kubiak. We're going to win a Super Bowl. You know what, Peyton Manning, you still got plenty left in the tank. I'm bringing you over here. And now he just goes out, and you know what, Tim Tebow, you suck. I don't care what you just did. You're out of here. We're getting somebody who can actually quarterback the football team. But now he's drafted Paxton Lynch. He's brought back. He's had Brock Osweiler. He's lost Brock Osweiler. He's brought him back, and the Broncos have 3 wins and 7 losses, and they were 3-1. He said, "You know what?" And Trevor Siemian, we just got soft, dude. Just say it like everybody knows it. Hey man, it's my fault. I have not given us a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL that can lead us to the playoffs and a Super Bowl, and I'll spend my offseason going for it. But this is on me. How hard is that?
I have more sympathy for Elway. I have more.
Really?
He's done a lot of good things as the GM of that team. He brought them a Super Bowl. He transformed them. He made them really good. Now he's making them kind of crappy. But he has a track record that suggests he can turn this around.
That's fair. But he's also, like, I expect more from him because he's John Elway.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't really know what, other than you, like, knowing who to blame or whatever, I don't know what really is to be gained from him saying, yeah, my bad, guys, I screwed up this draft.
Yeah, he just
sorry.
But he just called the whole team soft. We got soft. We exhaled. You just called everyone in your football team, guys that you went out and drafted, traded for, signed as free agents. They're all soft?
I mean, they agreed. A lot of the players agreed with him.
Well, what are you going to say to the guy?
Well, exactly. Too much power.
All right, John, we're soft. We go out on every Sunday afternoon and play football, the most insane sport of all time. But you're right, we're soft. I would not hear that well if I was a Denver Bronco. You're calling me soft?
No, I mean, look, could he have handled the situation better? Probably yes. But if you go to a GM and ask him, I mean, I don't know. I think this is within the ordinary realm of GM speak when a team is not doing well. You know, he hasn't sort of done anything exceptional that deserves criticism here beyond, I don't know, maybe that's too harsh on the players, but a lot of the players, you know, Von Miller came out and was like, yeah, I mean, losing this many games in a row, not a great look, you know?
Well, of course not. I just say it, man. I haven't gotten us a quarterback. It's hard to win without a quarterback. Brock Osweiler, he's given it everything he has. But, you know, we obviously need to address the
position. He tried to get a quarterback, though. I mean, Paxton Lynch obviously
right,
hasn't worked out, but, you know, all you can do is pick the thing you need in the draft and hope it works out. It's a hard thing picking players in the draft, especially quarterbacks.
It's one thing if he just stayed silent, but to say that, like, hey, John, what went wrong? Well, we got soft. Dude, that's you're out of bounds. It's just it's a little too blamey. It's a little too football-y. We got soft. We weren't toughing it out. We weren't.
I mean, I think the soft claim is dumb. It doesn't explain anything that is happening.
Right.
Like, you know, there are actual specific football reasons why they're not winning games anymore. But, I don't know, it just speaks to a sort of wider frustration with the direction. You know, this is a team, 2 years removed from a Super Bowl. Like, they shouldn't be this bad. I've seen people, like, criticizing a ton of, like, big-name guys who brought them that championship. Brought them that title, and it's like, look, obviously, you know, age, time passes, players, you know, decline, whatever, but these are not chumps, you know. These are good NFL players, many of them, and obviously they need to improve certain positions, but I mean, I don't know. It's a difficult situation.
Very, very much so, as far as the non-chumps things. Elway, McDermott, they're in the same boat. I don't think that feels
good. No, they're not.
They're okay, well, one's like way in the front of the
McDermott
boat.
Is underneath the boat drowning in some horrible domain of idiocy, and Elway's just sort of run-of-the-mill sucking.
All right, fair enough. Well, okay, I suppose. Although I still feel like they should be tied together. Hey, dear Denver, you're Buffalo. How does it feel? All right, I want to talk some NBA here. We have interviews on the show coming up here. I sat down with Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Hornets and Chris Dunn of the Chicago Bulls, formerly of the Minnesota Timberwolves, your team. And both those guys have undergone a transformation. Kemba more so, where Kemba Walker, let me tell you a quick story here, Jake, because we'll get to Kemba in about 2 minutes here. Kemba Walker was at UConn and working on his game, and there was a friend of mine who you'll hear in the interview, his name Coach Grew, who was working out players at the time, and he has Kemba Walker come over to Jersey, and they work out, you know, regular gym. He's Kemba's working on his game. My guy's a college basketball coach. He was working in Jersey at St. Anthony's, Bobby Hurley's high school at the time. Okay. Kemba comes in there. He shoots 50 shots around the perimeter. How many do you think he makes?
Well, seeing as how you're building up this story, some in real low because he's shooting well.
Right.
Five.
You're a smart guy. He made 10.
10.
Okay, so he asked me the question, how many do you think he made? I said 45. He's Kemba Walker. Well, he made 10. This dude worked on his game and just spent hours and hours and hours in the gym, and you'll hear in the interview, he tweaked a little bit, you know, the form. But he just got in there and battled. And I think it's a great lesson for me, for you listening, that anything is possible if you put your mind, set your mind to it, do it, go out, put the work in. What do you think?
Yeah, big fan of Kemba, really good player, and beyond sort of any improvements, I know Charlotte probably not the sexiest team in the NBA right now, which is just stacked with point guards, but Kemba, one of the most exciting players that people don't spend enough time appreciating. He's dynamite, man.
He really
is. He's so much fun to watch.
So much fun to watch. Does you know, scores the ball, gets in the lane, endless energy, so much on his plate. The other guy, Chris Dunn, who, you know, came over from Minnesota in the Jimmy Butler trade to Chicago. Here's a guy who couldn't shoot in Minnesota and has had to struggle shooting the ball in Chicago. But he busted out against Charlotte the other night, went 10 for 16, and then he went 8 for 16 against the Phoenix Suns, and the ball's in his hands a lot more. And he's basically trying to do the same thing. So I talked to Dunn about, hey, did you know that Kemba was a guy that wasn't a great shooter? And you're sort of, I mean, Chris Dunn's longer. He's a way better defender. He has a chance to be an elite defender. But, you know, for him to be a dynamite point guard in the NBA, he's going to have to shoot the basketball. And he's just in there working at it. The one thing he has going for him is that Fred Hoiberg, who can't do anything, actually does know how to shoot, so it could possibly help him.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Dunn really, really struggled his rookie year with the Timberwolves. He just wasn't a good player and ended up being kind of replaced by Tyus Jones in the pecking order there behind Rubio. But he's fun to watch. He's got a lot of really, really good raw skills. Like you said, great defender, really long, loves going for steals, got a good eye for a pass. Like, he has so many good pieces to his game. So, you know, obviously he's going to have time to sort of grow into the NBA at Chicago. He should get a lot of minutes there. So
no question.
Hopefully he can make the step up.
So here is, first we'll go with Kemba Walker, and then we'll get Chris Dunn here. All right, Kemba Walker, first off, I want to give you props. You just signed every jersey, every anything that they all wanted you to sign. Do you always do that wherever, whatever city you're in?
I do. My kids look up to me. You know, I want to try to make their day as much as possible. I don't want to blow them off. I just want to try my best to, you know, sign as many autographs as I could in the time I had, you know, to get ready for my game.
Do you give your parents credit on that? Where'd you learn to sort of give back like that? Any mentor?
Of course, my parents. Those are my role models, so definitely my parents. Yeah.
So I was talking to a guy who took you through a couple workouts, named Steve Gruthius, who I used to do play-by-play, and he was a coach there. Mm-hmm. And he said that
He asked me, how many shots do you think Kevin made going around the perimeter out of 50? And I guessed, you know, 45. He said he only made 10. And I'm like, so Kemba wasn't a pure shooter? And he's like, he wasn't. You learned this. Is all that true?
It's true. I wasn't a great shooter. I wasn't a consistent shooter. I had to, you know, kind of put in the work, you know, to become the shooter and player I am. And, yeah, I mean, just had to put in the work.
But that's big time. Like, guys normally don't transform to that level where, I mean, you're one of the best shooters in the NBA now. That's you had to have a lot of confidence, and that had to have been a lot of time on the court.
Yeah, more so a lot of time on the court, a lot of, you know, preparation. You know, it was a lot of down days as well. So, you know, just putting in the work, man. That's what it's all about in this league. You know, it's about guys, you know, working to become better players, and that's what I do. I go hard every day, try to become a better player each and every day, each and every year. So that's what I do.
Did you change your form?
Barely, not really. Just a few adjustments and tweaks, but not really.
He also said that he's never seen anybody with your bounce, that you got pogo sticks in the legs.
Not no more. Yeah. Maybe back in the day, but nah, them days is over.
Have you? I ask everybody on your team, maybe it's just because I grew up in Chicago and whatnot, have you played Mike one-on-one?
No, never played one-on-one. Never got the chance to. Probably never will.
Why is he dodging?
Nah, he's not. I mean, he's a busy man, so, you know.
All right, fair enough. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Let me bring in Chicago Bulls guard Chris Dunn.
Would you call that your best game so far as a Bull?
Oh, for sure. Like I said before, I think everybody can agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, it felt good, you know, especially to get the win with it, too. I think everybody played good. Denzel, Bobby, Lowry, Rolo, you know. Bobby set it off, you know, with all, you know, the threes that he made and, you know, the tough defense that, you know, he created. He the one that set it off, and we just ran with it.
It's got to be a little bit of a weight off your shoulders, too, to have that type of game and start to, you know, settle in here.
I guess you could say that, yeah. I mean, I'm going to keep going out there, you know. Play with confidence. I think that's a big thing, you know, and try to get my team involved. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, I think once, you know, everybody else making baskets, it opened up the lane for me.
You got to guard Kemba on one end, and then, you know, and then you're doing your stuff on the other. What was that challenge like for you tonight? I mean, it seemed like you guys were having a battle.
Well, yeah, he tested my conditioning for sure. You know, he's a great player. You know, he stayed low to the ground. You know, he knows the game. I mean, he's been in the league for so long. You know, it's good to, you know, go out there and compete with him.
Working on the shot, like, I was talking to Kemba before. He wasn't actually a shooter when he was young, and he had to work and work and work and just tweak a little bit. Is that how you're kind of looking at your progression here of what you're trying to get to?
Oh, for sure. I watched Kemba when he was at UConn. You know, when he was a freshman, all he did was go downhill. You know, all he did was kept going in the basket. And he understood, you know, in college that you kind of, you know, do that each and every play because it's called charges. And as you can see, he kept working on his game. You know, he won a championship at UConn, and he only brought it over to the NBA. So, you know, much credit to him.
All right, there you have it, Kemba and Chris Dunn. And I want to move on to the hottest team in the NBA right now, and that, of course, is the Boston Celtics. 16 wins in a row after starting 0-2 as we're sitting down to talk right now. And Kyrie Irving is just, I mean, he's putting up 47, scoring 10 in overtime. And people are sort of having the conversation, did Kyrie make the right move? And who knows what it looks like come playoff time. But I'm saying that I didn't think that he should have forced his way out of Cleveland. I didn't think, more importantly, that the Cavs should have traded him. Hey, man, you're under contract. You're staying right here. You got 2 more years. You want to leave after 2 years? You can go. But Kyrie, you're the guy with the biggest shot in this franchise's history, not the king. You're staying right here. We need you. But if you had told me that he could force his way to Boston, the second best team in the East, and play for Brad Stevens, I mean, this was as good of a landing spot as possible for him, and he's rolling with it. I mean, I don't think we need to see anymore. This was a great move for Kyrie.
You know, I'm really on the fence. Like, obviously, Kyrie's a good player. He was going to be good if he played for the Cavs. He was going to be good if he played for the Celtics. But what bothers me about this whole thing is, when he was forcing his way out of Cleveland, the reasons he kept giving were like, oh, I don't want to be the secondary guy to LeBron. I want to have my own team. I want to be the star. And you look at his numbers, and they haven't elevated to superstar numbers. He's averaging less points per game, I believe. I think his assists are down. His on-off splits with and without Al Horford paint a similar picture to what they were when he played without LeBron in Cleveland. And obviously he's playing really well and he's in a really good team situation. Brad Stevens, you know, one of the very best coaches in the NBA. But is he now sort of in the position he wanted to be at Cleveland where he's, you know, a bona fide on his own superstar? No, he isn't. The success of this team is based on defense, which, as we know, is probably the weakest part of his game. The success of this team is based on Brad Stevens' ability to get the best out of a, you know, a young, very talented group of players. And, you know, I look at that team, I'm thinking, is Kyrie Irving really sort of the big shot? I mean, I guess he's the biggest player on the team, the most famous, the biggest star on the team, and the team's doing well, but this team is not all about him at all.
Well, they've got, I mean, listen, Danny Ainge deserves a ton of credit for drafting Jaylen Brown, for drafting Jason Tatum, for trading for Kyrie, for going out and getting Gordon Hayward and being 16-2 without Gordon Hayward, which is incredible. And you're right on the numbers. I mean, if you look at just last year for Cleveland, he played 35 minutes. This year for the Celtics, he's playing 32. Last year for Cleveland, they're basically shooting the same. They're identical. 4.73 last year, 4.68 this year. From three, 401, 375. I mean, you're talking about percentage points here. And he averaged 25 last year, 22.5. So it's the same guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think.
More assists last year, 5.8 to 5.3 now.
But, you know, there's no real differences there. And, like,
no.
I think this move to me looks like a good move. The Cavs situation is an absolute mess. And it is made to work because LeBron James is there. When LeBron leaves, and Kyrie, when he was there, wasn't sure whether LeBron was staying or not, he's got to be thinking, well, if LeBron does leave and I'm left here on my own, this is going to be a disaster because this organization is not well run. It's not good. They fired their GM. Who knows what's going on in the future? And so from that perspective, I think this is undeniably a very good move for Kyrie, and he's justified it to this point in the season. But if you're looking at what Kyrie sort of suggested he wanted out of the move, I don't know if he's got that yet.
What are you saying that he suggested he wanted?
Bona fide superstar status on a big team.
They're really propping him up there in Boston, man. I mean, he's getting a lot of love. Every headline, it's Kyrie, 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 Kyrie 47, Kyrie 10 and OT. Kyrie's the man.
Yeah, but until this 47 game, he hasn't really had that moment. And again, this is against the Mavericks.
That's true.
And 10 of those points came in overtime.
That's true, too. So what, he had 37?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like whatever he was unsatisfied about with LeBron, I guess it was just because LeBron was a bigger name.
Right, he wants to be the dude. He had 47 against the Mavs. He had 30 against Atlanta, 10 of 12 from the field. That's insane. Guy's shooting his last couple of games. He's 26 for 36. Is that good? 26 for 34, rather.
It's even better.
That's impressive. Now in the win against Golden State, he had 16, and they were keying on him. Six assists, shot 4 of 16 from the field. But they came back and beat the Warriors 92-88, which was an incredible win. I mean, they've three straight games now. These guys have come back from double digits, and one of them was against Golden State, who everybody thinks is going to win the NBA title.
Yeah, and I think everybody is right. A good win. It was a good win. Kyrie was not.
He wasn't great in that game. But he had big shots in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and like, look, everything's going great for him. Everything's going great. But you know, to me, I wouldn't be surprised if in a few years he sort of gets restless again and kind of wants to make another move. Like, I just don't. I mean, especially eventually, when Gordon Hayward comes back. You know, I don't know really what he wanted when he was leaving the Cavs other than to get away from LeBron James, and I guess he succeeded in that respect.
All I'm thinking about is his move. Just don't go too far because he could fall off the earth.
Exactly.
He's a flat earther, so.
You gotta keep it small radius. Keep it in the east,
right,
I guess.
You don't want to go too far. All right, here, let's wrap up with the insanity that is the world we live in. Who you got, LeVar Ball versus Donald Trump?
This is the dumbest thing.
This is the greatest.
It's so
good.
Astonishingly dumb.
It's so... Are you guys going to thank me for getting you out of China? As if they weren't going to get out of China.
It is. I got to say, though, of all Trump's just, adversaries that he selected.
This is the best one.
This is the one most capable of dropping down to his level and just slumming it.
I mean, I think this is incredible. I'm so entertained.
It is. I've not been a fan of LeVar Ball, but this is the first time I've been like, yeah, I could get on board with this guy. His happy Thanksgiving on CNN was just, I mean, it was amazing. It was an exquisite experience to watch that.
I mean, can they move this forward? Can LeVar get an invite to the White House? Like, if I was Trump, I'd troll him. I'm inviting LeVar and his family to the White House so they can thank me personally. I want LiAngelo. I want LeVar.
I mean,
I want Lonzo to come.
Everything is on the table at this point.
What happens if, like, the Don got in the corporate jet, Air Force One, and just landed in L.A. and started, like, that dude is going to thank me face to face.
What if? He wouldn't do it. LeVar would not do it.
I think he would. I think he'd back down.
LeVar would not do it. No chance.
I think he would.
LeVar hates that guy. Also, Trump is, like, LeVar is right, too. Let's just be clear about that. Trump's claims that he got LiAngelo out of prison are just false. That is incorrect and untrue.
So how do you know that? A lot of people want to claim that without him they'd be.
Are you going to trust Trump, who lies with every other sentence that comes out of his mouth? Are you going to trust, like, the many well-sourced journalists that have told us what the situation in China was?
Yeah, I'll go with the journalists. Right, the whole thing's ridiculous.
Why he was on CNN, I have no idea.
People are like, this is terrible for the world. Look, I'll tell you what this is. It doesn't matter at all.
It probably does matter that our president is dumb enough to think this is worth his time, though. And so it matters in an indirect kind of way.
No, he's not doing anything.
But I do agree with you that fundamentally this is more funny than anything else.
I really hope it keeps going. Give me more Trump and LeVar. Let's go full WrestleMania. Let's get a beating of the minds in an NBA game. I don't know what this looks like. Have him show up on UCLA's campus. I'm a big fan. All right. This has been the flu episode. I mean, I think it was an incredible performance. This is like, I don't know if it was like 38 game 5 Utah, but, you know, somewhere in the, like, at least like, if
had
I was.
How did Kukoc play in that game?
Kukoc was big in that game.
He was big in that game?
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to pull it up for you. The flu game box score. Kukoc was the only other Bull, I think, in double figures. Flu game box score. Scotty sucked. Michael Jordan. Flu game box score. June 11, 1997. Michael apparently had some bad pizza. It was a 90-88 final. MJ in 44 minutes was 13 of 27, had 38. Actually, I'm wrong about this. I was thinking of another Tony Kukoc game. You came off the bench. You were 3 for 5. All of them were three-pointers. You had 9. Solid contribution. 4 rebounds. Good job.
What does Scotty do?
Scotty had 17, but he shot 5 of 17. You were way more efficient. Luke Longley could have been the guy you're going for. You sort of sound like Luke Longley. 6 of 7, Luke was in that game. Do you remember Big Luke, the center?
Big Luke,
He was a Minnesota Timberwolf. Luke Longley. Ron Harper, 2 of 4. The Worm, Dennis Rodman, 1 for 1.
I saw him a couple months ago. Did I tell you that?
You saw Dennis Rodman?
Yeah, he was having dinner in Wicker Park.
Dennis Rodman was having dinner in Wicker Park in Chicago?
That is correct.
Where was he having dinner?
Northside Grill.
He was having dinner at the Northside Grill?
Was having it. A lot of people were stopping. Maybe it was a late lunch. I can't remember.
You know that I once used to work over there in the hostel industry, and I had a lunch at the Northside Grill.
You worked in the hostel industry?
I did. It was a.
This is something that needs to be mined in greater detail, I think, later on.
We can do that. I was a very important key component in the hostel industry as a front office personnel/desk clerk.
You're the Danny Ainge of hostel GMs.
I was. They would walk in. Welcome. Where are you coming from? Botswana. Well, welcome from Botswana. My name's Mark Carmen. Welcome to.
And then you told him about the flu game.
Have you ever heard of Michael Jordan? Have you ever heard of the flu game? He was 13 to 27, 2 of 5 from 3, 10 to 12 from the free throw line, had 38. All right, everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Don't get injured playing Turkey Day football, flag football, touch, whatever you do, tackle, I suppose. And we will see you next week. The podcast comes out every Wednesday at noon Central Time. Please, if you can, give it the old 5-star rating, give a little review, and if you think it sucks, you can do that too. But don't do that. I need your support. And you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at the Carm.
I'm at Jake Valerius.
And we are your On the Mark Sports. Sports Superstars, Wednesday at noon, Central Time. Hope you have a great holiday. Thanks for listening.